From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
Howdy. If this is your first time listening, welcome. We're really glad you're here. I'm Billy Foster. Gay PHX is a locally owned, community-powered media platform built to connect LGBTQ plus people and allies across Phoenix and beyond. It's local voices, local stories, local connection, media created by the community, for the community, but never limited to our community. And if you're a regular listener, thank you. Just by tuning in, you're making a choice to support local independent media that believes our joy, our stories, and our lives deserve space. The last couple of weeks have been heavy for a lot of people, and when things feel heavy, joy doesn't disappear, it becomes essential. Not forced joy, not fake positivity, but the kind that comes from being together, moving your body, laughing, and realizing that you belong. And that's why today's conversation matters. Today you're going to hear from Desert Valley Squares, a Phoenix-based LGBTQ square dancing club that's been building connection and chosen family for decades. Not to perform, not to impress, but to bring people together, step by step, smile by smile. And as you listen, let the energy shift a little. Let the laughter land and let the reminder sink in that shared joy can really change how we carry hard days. And it's not just talking about connection, we're also trying to create it. On First Friday, February 6th, we're inviting you to show up in person at Railroad Dogs for something simple and joyful, community. Amanda the Tax Person is sponsoring a hot dog giveaway to help bring people together. She's buying you a hot dog, and not just any hot dog, a Roro dog. We encourage you to sign up for a dog, show up, say hi, and spend a little time with your community. And yes, Amanda will be there, so if you've got tax questions, you have a friendly, real human that you can talk to. Register today at gayphx.com/hotdogs. And while you're listening, don't forget, we are giving away passes to the International Bear Convergence, and we've got tickets so that you can see Alec Mappa right here in Arizona. All the details are on the stream and at gayphx.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing connection. This is Gay PHX. And now, let's pass it to Brian.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Brian's Hot 3, where nightlife isn't just entertainment, it's evidence. Evidence that Phoenix gathers, queer people convene, the community, even the desert, finds its way to the bar, the stage, the screen, and the dance floor. It's your Desert Den Daddy Brian reporting from a city mid-conversation with itself, arguing over reality TV, betrayals, and spelling words we've only ever heard shouted in clubs, and quietly deciding which traditions will carry forward together. This week reads like a cultural section spread, reality television as a group sport, drag and leather in a battle of literacy and legacy, and a bear community asking plainly to be invested in. If you like your nightlife thoughtful, theatrical, and a little unhinged, you're exactly where you belong. Let's begin. Hot pick number one is Cobalt, Thursday, January 29th at 6 p.m., The Traitors, weekly viewing party. At Cobalt, Thursday night becomes a tribunal. The Traitors plays on the screen. But the real drama lives in the room. Theories shouted across tables, alliances formed over cocktails, and a collective gasp when trust collapsed in real time. There's no cover, no filter, and yes, a chance to win tickets to see Demi Lovato, because even betrayal deserves a prize. This is television the way it was meant to be consumed, together, loudly, and with options. Hot pick number two, Cobalt, Saturday, January 31st, 3 to 5:30 p.m., Drag versus the Leather Spelling Bee. Want a snapshot of queer culture in Arizona? You could do worse than this room. Presented by Empress Veronica Savage Rose and Mr. Anvil Phoenix 2025 Ben Calderon in association with the Imperial Court of Arizona, this is Drag vs. Leather, hosted by the incomparable Barbara Seville. Team Drag, Team Leather, One Dictionary, Endless Confidence. It's words, wigs, leather, and chaos, sometimes in that order. With proceeds benefiting the Imperial Court of Arizona, and the Leather Archives and Museum, because history matters even when spelled wrong. Come for the spelling, stay for the drama, leave reminded that community is built out loud. Hot pick number three, Paddles Bunkhouse, Saturday, January 31st at 8 p.m. 2026 Southwest Bear Competition, sponsor call. Not every headline is glitter, some are groundwork. The 2026 Southwest Bear Competition is seeking sponsors, And this is the moment where support turns into legacy. Gold, silver, bronze, and honorable mentions. Different levels, same impact. If you believe Bear Spaces deserve visibility, funding, and future, reach out to Boy Alex and be part of what comes next. Community doesn't fund itself, people do. Phoenix, that's your hot three. This is what a living culture looks like. Watching together, laughing together, misspelling together, and choosing again and again to show up. Stay bold, stay hydrated. Your Desert Den Daddy Brian worries. And stay engaged because nightlife is where community archives itself. Now, before I step back into the shadows, a preview and a promise. Next month, Palm Springs becomes the epicenter of bear culture. Yes, the IBC is coming. Yes, the pool will be full. Yes, the bears will be everywhere. And here's the part that matters. Gay PHX will be there throughout. Photos will be taken, moments will be captured, and they will be posted unedited for your viewing pleasure, for your historical accuracy, and because truth looks better without filters. You'll see yourselves as you were, sun-kissed, smiling, mid-laugh, mid-story, mid-weekend, because someone should be keeping the record. And this one deserves to be remembered exactly as it happens. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm your Desert Den Daddy Brian, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the Valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. If you have a high deductible health plan, maximizing your HSA gives you a deduction now, tax-free growth, and a tax-free medical spending later. It's one of the strongest tax tools available. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, it's not a bar, it's not a club, and it's probably not what you think. A Phoenix group that's been turning movement into connection and strangers into chosen family, one dance at a time. Are you curious yet? Please welcome to the rainbow-tinted microphone, Desert Valley Squares. Welcome, welcome. Okay, so we've got like four of you here, right?
Yeah.
All right. Everyone, do your intros and let's let the community get to know you.
Okay, great. My name is Curtis Burns. I am the president of our local square dance club, the Desert Valley Squares. And I've been the president for 2 years, and our club's been around for a long time. So we've got other people on the call as well that can give us a lot more of the history. I'm Curtis, president. We also have Michael Weiss. He is our vice president, and I'll tell you their names, then they can each talk real quick. And we have Denise DeCio. She's one of our great club members. And we have Seth Levine, who is our longtime club member, and he's also our club caller. And he has served as the president for many years as well. That's who I am. So how about Michael?
Hi, I'm Michael Weiss. I'm the vice president, as Curtis just mentioned. And I've been dancing for 7 years. Since I actually arrived in Phoenix, and this is a very dynamic group, so much fun. We laugh so much. I have never met such a wonderful group of people in my life. So I will turn this over to a wonderful person, Denise.
Hi, I'm Denise DeCio. I started with this club about 25 years ago and danced for many years all the way up to advanced. Awesome. And then I left because I hurt my knee. And then I broke up with my partner. And so I had nobody. And I went back there because they were like family. So that's who I am.
Hi, everybody. It's Seth Levine. I am the caller for the Desert Valley Squares. I've been calling and square dancing for about 40 years, which is remarkable considering I only look like I'm 35. It says square dancing and Desert Valley Squares has been a huge part of my life, obviously, for a long time. And it really has become my chosen family.
This is awesome. That's incredible. How do you explain Desert Valley Squares to someone who's never heard of it?
We're, as it says in our name, we are a square dance club. We are the Desert Valley Squares. We're an LGBTQ club primarily, but we welcome everybody who wants to come and dance with us. We're not your grandma and grandpa square dance club that you might think of from days gone by. We're a lot more fun and energetic than what you might expect. Otherwise, we dance modern Western square dance is what we learn. And that's what's danced all across the nation and even Canada and abroad. And so once you learn how to square dance with our club, you'll keep dancing with us because we've been dubbed by a few people as their favorite club, favorite square dance club. But once you've learned to square dance, you can literally go square dance anywhere you want with any club around the country because we all dance the same dance for the same calls. So it's quite fun.
So when people hear square dancing, they picture something very specific. What surprises people once they actually walk in?
So what we like to tell people who say, I square danced in junior high school and I hated it, is that, as Curtis mentioned, this is not your grandpappy's square dance. This is modern square dancing. We're using music that is modern. We're not wearing hokey, funky costumes with crinolines and skirts and Western wear, unless we choose to do that as a form of drag. And we're welcoming people from all walks of life as well. We dance guys with guys and girls with girls and girls with guys and every combination of people you can imagine. We welcome gay and lesbian and bi and trans and the entire spectrum of all of the communities. And that's what I think makes it different and also sometimes hard for us to recruit because people remember square dancing in junior high and that's not what we're doing.
Well, what does a typical night look like for someone when they first arrive?
I usually come at them. I'm Denise here. And I usually come right at them because I love meeting new people and I make them sit down. I joke around. We have some kind of dialogue before we start dancing and we make them feel comfortable. And then I hand them off to somebody else just to make sure that people are being friendly to them. Because a lot of times people come to any kind of function and everybody says, oh, come to this. And then they go there and then they sit in a corner and nobody talks to them. But that doesn't happen here.
Yeah, we're very social. A typical night, hey, Curtis, how's it going? How was your trip that you went on last week? Or how was your mother or your mother-in-law? Or, hey, we haven't heard from this person. Maybe we should check in on them. Because the group is very caring and we're a family, like Denise said. So we're really interested in what's happening in our lives. It's not just like we're arriving, we dance and go. Because we see each other.
We have a lot of breaks. So we have a dance tip and then we have a 10-minute break. So it's all throughout. We're just being friendly and welcoming.
We've been referred to as a social club with a square dance problem.
I like that. And so how does this work in queer space? What makes this different than any other kind of square dancing club?
So the coupling up part is probably what makes it the most different. In a regular, or I'll say in a straight square dance club, people will come out onto the dance floor with a partner in hand, and it's usually their spouse or their regular square dance partner. And it's very difficult in those clubs to be a part of it if you're single. In our club, it's completely different. Most people will come out onto the dance floor by themselves and hold their hand up in the air when they need a partner to fill that hand, and somebody else will come up and dance with them. And we do have couples in the club, and we have singles in the club, and we have folks who came by themselves or with a special friend, but everybody dances with everybody else, and you don't necessarily even dance with the same person all night long, and that's what's different. Besides the change in music styles and dress and all that.
Got it. So how do you make it welcoming for people who feel that they've got two left feet?
Yeah, what I like to say is two is all you need. If you had three or four feet, as long as you can walk and dance, walk in time with music, maybe not even necessarily in time with the music. If you can walk, ambulate by yourself, you can square dance. It doesn't take any, there's no fancy footwork. It just is moving in time with the music.
And for someone listening right now who's curious but nervous, what would you tell them?
Come and try it. You would be surprised how many people join us and realize how easy it is.
And once they join, they understand how different it is from high school. But because everybody I talk to anybody who has never done this in real life, they always say that. Oh, I hated it. It was from, I took it in high school. They made me take it.
Right.
And I'm like, this is different. So if I finally get them to come, they're like, oh my God, yeah, this is so fun. And then they join. We have a mother, a straight mother with a 20-year-old daughter that's dancing with us. Everybody is all mixed in, and it just is comfortable.
And it's such a non-threatening, fun, welcoming atmosphere as compared to going to the bars, especially if you're trying to meet new people. Not to say there's anything wrong with hooking up. I've made lots of boyfriends through square dancing, but far many more boyfriends through square dancing than I ever did hooking up in the bars back in the day. But this is such a non-threatening, friendly, welcoming atmosphere where there's none of that pressure to do anything with anybody other than come and dance.
So now you say that it's not your grandfather's square dancing. So when I think back, of course, to middle school, that was a long time ago. And back then the music was old. So what kind of music is it you're using now then?
Yeah, we're using any kind of music that has a beat that can be adjusted to about 120 beats per minute. Think about Madonna. We're using Madonna music. We're using Cher's music. We're using music from Benson Boone. We're using music from any of the artists who are performing live on stage today and adjusting it as we need to electronically so that it fits and works for the kind of walking beat that we need. So it doesn't matter what kind of music it is. And we do use some older music, but we also adjust that so it feels more modern.
And now for each of you, what keeps it fun after all the years, or in some cases, decades of doing it?
For me, I would say I've been dancing for 8 years now. Curtis, I haven't talked much. That's okay. But when I first arrived at the first class that I took, Seth had a whole bag full of crinoline skirts that were all different colors, and you could put them on if you felt like getting them on. And my husband and I arrived at dance, and I was expecting to dance with him, which I did. But because if you're a boy, you don't have to dance the boy role. You can dance a boy or a girl role. And so I chose to learn the girl role initially. And I put on a pink crinoline. And I have a picture of myself in that, my first day of square dancing. I had so much fun. And I just, every time I go, I'm smiling the entire time I'm dancing. I can't stop smiling. It's just a lot of fun. And just the people that I've met over the years, and through our large organization that we can talk about as well, we've met people from all over the country that we've become close friends with, all because of square dancing. Prior to 8 years ago, my husband and I have been together for 32 years, and we didn't have a really big circle of gay male friends. We knew quite a few lesbians for some reason, but we didn't have a lot of gay male friends until we started square dancing, and now we have an entire family of friends that are definitely our family. We see them every week. We socialize with them even outside of our weekly dancing. We travel together. It's just a lot of fun to keep going.
I think it's great that everyone accepts the fact that we're all going to make mistakes and then we laugh about it. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We focus on the fun. And yeah, we're square dancing while we do it. But if someone messes up, we all crack up. We go back and start again, get in their places, and try again. Plus, the fact that people really care. Like yesterday, we were dancing, and we're literally dancing that Denise and I had not spoken yet. And she's asking as we're dancing, how is your heel? Because I had messed up my heel. So there's this sense of family and caring. And we don't take ourselves seriously. We just want to have fun and enjoy.
Yeah, you forgot to say we messed up because of that.
Yeah, we were messed up.
It wasn't a mess up. It was a social faux pas that you got to have fun with.
Yeah, we do have a problem of talking too much while we're dancing.
So?
That's right.
So who's next?
You.
I knew it. So I came at first, and I had such a good time. My partner and I was a dancer. I've always been a dancer. And my partner, 6 less feet. And so the two of us needed to do something dancing together. that didn't seem like at the bar, because if you make a mistake or you dance funny at the bar, forget it. So we decided to try the square dancing thing, and I was smiling so much and so long the first time I went there that when I came home, my face was hurting because all the muscles in my face were like not used to that kind of fun. I just kept going then. And she kept going, and she, and by the way, she became a good square dancer. Not, didn't take too long either.
And what's it feel like watching someone go from, I don't know what I'm doing, to I'm confident and smiling?
It's great, because he was never confident about dancing, and it's hard to be with a dancer for 24 years and not dance.
Right.
So it really gave her some confidence and gave us both some fun. It was nice to see.
So I came out of the two-stepping crowd from the days of Charlie. So if any of our listeners are in their 50s and 60s, you probably remember me from Charlie's back in the day, every weekend, two-stepping. I found square dancing through one of the bar newspapers and thought, this might be fun. And sure enough, I went the first night and haven't stopped for almost 40 years. I've had opportunities to travel through with square dancing. The International Association of Gay Square Dancers Clubs has a convention in a different city hosted by the local club every year. I've been all over the United States and throughout Canada with our conventions every year. There are opportunities to go to other clubs throughout the year at smaller events that we call fly-ins, where people generally will fly into a city to dance for a weekend. As I said, I've met boyfriends and I've met other people who have been not boyfriends, who are family from all over the country and all over the world, including Japan. And it just has been a very important, big part of my life.
What roles do allies play in the energy and success of the group?
Good question.
I want to answer that one.
So allies are very important. Allies, we have gone to square dance activities in town here in Phoenix with the predominantly straight square dance clubs. We were a member of or an association of square dance clubs here in the Valley. In fact, we were a founding member of that organization. It has since essentially folded, but we were always welcome as members of that association as a club. And we were always welcomed into those large square dance activities that were mostly straight people in their hokey costumes and their Kremlins and their Western wear. But we went as ourselves. And as a result of exposing ourselves to that community, we welcomed those people into our community. And so we have a straight couple that's dancing with us on a very regular basis right now. And as Denise mentioned, we have a straight woman who's brought her daughter to dance with us. And over the years, we've had lots of people come from the broader square dance community to join us and dance and have a good time. And they do have a good time because we're dancing at a faster pace. We're dancing in regular old street clothes. They don't have to get dressed up fancy to come and dance with us. And I think we make inroads to the straight community as a part of the gay community through square dancing and dance and music and socialization.
I think that's true, because when we dance with in a straight club, a lot of the men are dancing the girl role. And the straight men, because as we move around the square, the straight men have to twirl the gay men. And it just really breaks down a barrier that hardly ever is broken down in the wider straight community.
It feels like it helps normalize us.
Yes.
What's something that you wish people knew before trying it for the first time?
We wish that we didn't have to talk them into it. That's what I wish anyway.
Yeah, I would say it's important for people to know that it's fun and easy, and we teach it in a stepwise fashion that is a tried and true method of teaching. People say, I don't know my left from right. I can teach you that. People say, I have two left feet. That's okay. We don't care. We just want people to know that it's fun and easy, and we teach it, and we've been teaching it for a long time, and we know how to teach it, and it's just a good time.
Yeah, Seth does a very good job with his instructions and getting everybody comfortable in the basic calls just to get them up and running. The first night, you already feel like you're dancing.
You are dancing the first night. The latest new class was just amazing. They went through the instructions like a pro.
They did.
And when the new people show up, whether they've been a square dancer only when they were in junior high or elementary school, or whether they square danced a year ago and they've forgotten, everybody, when we start our classes, everybody starts at the same level. No one's expected to know anything more than anybody else. Nobody's technically a better dancer, and you don't have to be intimidated by somebody, but, you know, because we don't have dance moves, we're all doing the same exact move because of whatever the caller tells us to do and teaches us to do. It's not intimidating once you get there and realize that, but some people might think it's intimidating because they don't think they know how to dance.
Some of our audience may be millennials, and I don't know if they do still teach this in high school or junior high. So just in case they don't, let's set up the premise of what square dancing is a little bit, just so they know what a caller is and why everyone knows the same moves.
Square dancing is a set of four couples in a squared up set. So there's two couples facing each other and two other couples facing each other. And then the caller is the director, essentially, telling all of the dancers spontaneously what to do next. So it's all set to music, and it goes something like, do an element left with your corner girl, come back to your partner, right and left grand, a grand old ride on a left you go, wind them in and a weave them out, when you meet your partner, swing that one and promenade her right back home. Something like that.
That's awesome. I just did all of that in my head as you were telling me.
Awesome. And so that's ad-libbed live, correct? There's not a set pattern that you do, or is there different things
it's
that you...
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. A lot of it is ad-libbed, or what we call extemporaneous, and then a lot of it is set patterns. So I do a combination of extemporaneous calling and then also set patterns that we do to songs. So we do what we call patter calling, which is basically what I just did. And then we also do singing calls, which is a song that most people will recognize. Some are modern, some are older songs. And then we dance to the tune of the song.
And each of those things that he said, like an element left, he will teach first. Here's what an element left is. And here's what a do-si-do is. And here's what, you know, a promenade is. And then so once we learn those things, then we understand what he's trying to say.
So it's a flash mob where everyone knows the same dance. However, not everyone's necessarily doing the same thing because it's going to be changed.
Everybody in the room is doing the same thing at once. And that's the lovely thing about it, especially if we have more than eight people and we can make two squares. So that would be 16 people. They're dancing in two separate groups of eight dancers, but everybody in the room is doing the same thing at the same time to the same music. So it creates this sort of ethereal, we're all together kind of feeling. So everybody gets the idea that they're dancing with each other.
And yet it's still ad-lib based on what the caller directs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like part conductor, part DJ, part...
Unlike line dancing, where you actually learn a line dance and then you do that same dance over and over and over and over every time you hear that song. You know, everybody knows how to do the electric slide.
Right.
But you only do it to that one song. But with square dancing, you never know what the caller is going to have they do. You do get a little bit used to the caller's style. And sometimes we anticipate what he's going to tell us to do. And then he throws us the curveball and tells us something else. And then the square messes up. And we have to get ourselves back together. But that's part of the joy of it is it is different. Half of the time, it's brand new stuff. The brand new variations and sequences of calls that Seth's giving us. And some of the times it's, oh, we're going to do an element left and do-si-do because those two go together so easily.
That's incredible. Now, so for someone who wants to show up and give it a try, what's the easiest first steps?
Everybody is welcome. We dance on Sunday afternoons at the Mount of Olives Lutheran Church in Phoenix, like 35th Street in Thomas. Every Sunday is when we dance at 4:00. But we're starting our next new dancer class on February 1st at 4:00 at the same location. So if you can find us on desertvalleysquares.com. You can also find us on meetup.com/Desert Valley Squares to sign up for our new class that's starting. And just show up and have a smile and some comfortable shoes and whatever you want to wear, as long as everything's covered. We've never had a problem with that, but
we did once.
But just show up and try it, and Seth will show you a good time and teach you how. You'll, on your very first day of square dancing lessons, you'll learn about 15 calls. And then the next week, you'll learn another 9 or 10. And then as the weeks go on, you'll learn a few more each time, and you'll continue to practice the calls that you've learned up to that point. But starting on February 1st, 4 o'clock, and if you show up on the 1st and you love it so much and you want to invite your friends and family, we can start new people on the next week, which is February 8th. And Seth just does a refresher of the calls that we learned the first week and teaches anybody that showed up new in the second week. And then from there on out, we try to not bring in new dancers, because by then, the dancers that did start on the 1st and the 8th, they've already learned 20, 25 calls. And bringing in the new person on week 3, 4, and 5 is not very easy to get everybody up to speed and hold the new dancers back that have already learned. So February 1st, DesertValleySquares.com.
And how often do you have the new classes like that?
Our classes take, depending on the success of the class and how well the students are progressing, the classes to learn the first set of calls, and Seth can probably explain a little bit more of this as well, but you learn about 50 calls to get you up to what we call the mainstream level. And to learn 50 calls takes approximately 10, 11, 12 weeks of instruction. So because it takes that amount of time, we only start new classes twice a year. If we're really good and really fast, we can try to squeeze in 3 classes, but it takes about 3 months to get through a class. So we like to teach the new dancers to get them up to that level, and then we let them dance for the next couple months without having to bring in new students again. So we generally start a new class in February and in September.
Excellent. But we don't want to discourage anyone from, if you can't come on February 1st, or the 8th, they'll reach out to us because we'll work something out with you. We had a gentleman that started the 3rd week, and a few of us went in early one Sunday, and we got him up to speed, and actually he was doing very well. So we don't want to say, oh, we'll only come and see us twice a year. You can stop by anytime all year. Reach out to Curtis or I via the website or meetup, and we'll figure out a way that we can get you dancing. Because I know when it will discourage anyone from not coming because they're not able to make it those first 2 weeks.
And I assume people can come to watch anytime on your Sunday practices?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We have someone that reached out to me today. He and his partner are coming in the next couple of weeks just to make sure it's what they want to do. They're very excited, and so we're going to show them what happened, and then hopefully they'll be part of our new group that starts on the 1st.
And it's always on a Sunday at 4.
Sundays at
4. So if you have the address and you got a Sunday at 4 that you're free, you could come and watch and check it out. And then if we're in the middle of a class, maybe you'll just wait until the next new class with bated breath.
But you could always say you're quote unquote going to church every Sunday.
To please those family members that keep asking, right?
You can say, oh, I can't do that with you guys. I have to go to church at 4 o'clock.
There it is. Oh, there's a 4 o'clock.
Yeah. To make sure there's no confusion on that point, we do dance at the Mount of Olives Lutheran Church, but we're not associated or affiliated with them. We just rent their space.
It's just a space.
Their fellowship hall. But they're very great people. They're very good to us. We've been dancing there, I think, for 12 or 13 or more years. We were already dancing there when I started 8 years ago. But they're very good people. They treat us well. They give us their space to use each Sunday.
That's awesome. Now, do you guys compete? Is it just for fun? Is there regionals? How does that all...
No, it's just
no
for fun.
The only
competition, as I may have mentioned, is very friendly, and it's amongst the few of us who choose to participate in various forms of drag. So there isn't At our annual convention, there's a drag show / competition, and we have a honky-tonk queen every year who reigns over nothing for a year. But
makes touring easy.
Yeah. There are no ribbon cuttings or anything that they have to do. But yeah, no, for as far as the square dance part of it, there's no real competition. It's just for fun. We want people to come hang out, have a good time, listen to music, dance, and go home ready to start the week on Monday.
That's awesome.
Here it is. And
we forgot to say there are always snacks.
They're always what?
Oh, yeah, snacks.
And you know, there's always something to munch on.
Oh, snacks. Munchies. What is, so you have, what's the largest amount of squares you've had or you've seen or been a part of?
Oh, at our conventions, we've had upwards of 1,200 people dancing in the same room at one time.
Oh,
so
wow.
Whatever 1,200 divided by 8 is, that's how many squares we can have on occasion. Here in Phoenix, we've occasionally had 3 squares dancing at a time. Maybe once or twice we've had 4 squares dancing. On a regular Sunday night, we have 1 or 2 squares.
Now, when you had that massive amount of people divided by 8, how does the caller manage all of that? Is it just, I assume, still one caller and a PA system?
Yep, absolutely. It's a PA system and the one caller. And like I said, everybody in the room is doing the same thing at the same time, all together to the same music. It is this fabulous
amazing
conglomeration of people dancing together.
Incredible.
It really is. It gets me all misty when I think about it. The first convention I went to was in Palm Springs. It just happened to be in Palm Springs that year when my husband and I started dancing. So we were, of course, he thought, we'd never imagined that there was a square dance convention that people go to. But it was an easy commitment because Palm Springs is so close. And we went there for the weekend and we had more fun than we knew what to do with, is what I tell people. I smiled and smiled and laughed and danced for 3 days straight, basically. And I look back on that as that's one of the things that got me completely hooked, and I stayed around for it. But we've been went to Seattle, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, Ottawa, Canada. Don't know where else I've been. But our convention this coming year, which is in July, is going to be held in Montreal, Canada. So we're looking forward to going there. And then the following year, a little bit closer, the Square Dance Club in Albuquerque is hosting it in 2027. So that'll be an easy
destination
for us to get to next year. And then Denver the following year. So it just moves around each year. And Phoenix has hosted it twice over the course of the 42 years that we've been a club. We haven't hosted it since, I think, 2008, maybe. I don't remember.
2004.
And do you vie to try and host it again sometime soon? Is it a...
No.
Nope.
No.
That was a quick no. That was a no. I know what goes into doing this. No.
It is a lot of work.
I understand.
No, honestly, at some point in the future, if we grow, we might consider hosting it again. It's a lot of work and it's very expensive to do, especially in today's economy. But yeah, I would love for us to host it again.
I know you had mentioned this before, but let's go ahead and hit it again. Where can people find you and learn more?
So DesertValleySquares.com is the best place to find us initially. That's our webpage, of course. It has links to our Facebook group, our meetup group, and to our Instagram.
Awesome. Everybody, thank you so very much for doing this with me today. I really appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. I feel like I learned a lot.
We hope to see you at the next Square Dance class.
Yeah, Bill, are you going to join us?
I will stop by sometime, but it can't be this weekend because I actually do have to go to Palm Springs this weekend as well.
All right, we're up to February 1st.
Yes, I will try and make it there before.
Blue hair walk through our door.
Oh, awesome. Yes, I will try and make it before February 1st. I can't promise, but if not, at least in February, I will just stop by. I will make that commitment. How's that?
Yay.
We would love that.
Awesome. Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma, and I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about anal pap exams. Let's talk anal cancer. Early detection saves lives. Anal pap smears are a simple screening tool that can find abnormal cells before they become cancer. Gay men and trans women are at a higher risk for anal cancer, especially people living with HIV. HIV can make it harder for the body to clear HPV, the virus that causes most anal cancers, which means regular screening is even that much more important for many of us. An anal pap smear is quick, usually painless, especially if you relax, and can be life-saving. Talk to your healthcare provider about whether an anal cancer screening is right for you. Taking care of your sexual health is an act of self-respect and self-care.
Pride lives here.
As we wrap up, let's hold on to this. Joy doesn't have to be loud to be powerful. Sometimes it's like dancing badly and laughing anyway. Sometimes it looks like showing up on a Friday and sharing a hot dog. Sometimes it's just listening and letting your shoulders drop. What you heard today from Desert Valley Squares is a reminder that community changes how we carry hard things. It doesn't erase them, it makes them lighter. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting local community-owned media. Thank you for choosing to stay connected even when it would be easier to check out. Every listen helps this grow. Every share brings someone new into the circle. And the more this grows, the more joy we can help circulate back into the community. So take a little of this with you. Move your body. Say yes to the invite. And join us on February 6th at Row Dogs. Sign up at gayphx.com/hotdogs. We'll see you next week and, of course, every day on the stream. We love you, Phoenix.
We're together. The sun is bright and there's nowhere better than by your side.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.